Hello and welcome to a special edition of You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on the Twittens at XOrsonX, and you can find Mike on the Twittens at Review and Roast. Now, you can find all the rest of our stuff at reviewandroast.com, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast, or Instagram, or Friendster, or whatever your cup of tea is. So, a few weeks ago, we were at C2E2, and we came across the booth for Wanted Earth, which is a game, a board game that is going to be hitting Kickstarter May 11th.
Which, now, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, basically, that's today. So, the game is put out, or going to be put out, provided the funding goes through, for, Shadow Squirrel Games, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So basically, let's read a little synopsis here. From the beginning, Earth has remained unnoticed until now. Various alien races desire Earth for their own reasons and will do anything necessary to dominate the planet and its inhabitants. For the first time in history, humans have a common enemy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Should have been a little more excited. We got our hands on a prototype. We met up with the creators about a week ago at this point to basically learn how to play the game. And we took the prototype home and we ran through it at least 4 or 5 times on our own at this point, plus the 2 or 3 times that we played with the creators. So now we're going to tell you what we think and whether or not you should hop over to the Kickstarter. Okay, so Wanted Earth is basically a miniatures strategy board game, is what they call it. It's a strategy combat game, obviously. You're fighting aliens or you're fighting humans if you happen to be playing the faction. The way this differs from other miniature battles games that I am familiar with, right off the bat, the first thing I noticed is it's not tile-based. There's just a board, and it's a static board. Like, there's...
Right.
There's going to be a second side where you will be able to customize from what they were saying.
Correct.
I didn't learn too much about it, and the prototype doesn't have that. But if you go to wantedearth.com, you can see all the pictures. Or if you go to reviewandroast.com and look at our review, we're going to plaster it with pictures from the game as well. So it is a static board, and when I questioned them, you know, first thing before we even played it, I asked why a board, why not tiles? And it was like, well, because they want to force combat, and it makes sense. And then when you play the game, it makes even more sense, because basically what you have is the faction. A lot of our games have been one-on-one, just two-player, because,
correct,
you know, it's just hard to squeeze people around during the week sometimes. But basically the one player plays the faction, which is the alien race. Now, with that, you have different characters. You have the Wudwuds, you have the Reltongs, you have the Uggs, and you have Sally. Those are your 4 base characters, and they each cost a certain number of points to bring out. Now, basically, what you do is, the first thing you do is you put your little spawning point on the board, and then you put out 4 points worth of guys there, and then the hero reveals his 3 chosen heroes, because that's how it is. You don't get 1 hero per guy. You get 3 heroes per guy, which is a neat little thing, because I believe the base game comes with 7.
7, I think. We have...
Put your face on the microphone.
We have
might help.
10. Oh, it's pointing the wrong way.
I think we have 10 guys here with us now. Mm-hmm. And some of them, don't quote me in case I'm wrong, but I think they were going to do... like stretch goals on Kickstarter. So if they reach certain points, they're going to include more characters, I believe. I could be wrong, but what do I know?
And they did have, we have 10 with us. They did have a couple, 3 more maybe.
Possibly.
That we didn't take, that we're going to definitely be some type of either stretch goal or future expansion characters. So we wanted to play with the 10 base characters that will either be included right off the bat or definitely be part of a stretch goal situation.
Correct.
On the Kickstarter.
So once you place your spawn point, you place your Underlord, which basically you have your base guys, you have your Underlord, and you have your Overlord. There's only one Overlord in the base game. I'm assuming there's going to be expansions later on. As far as the Underlords, there's two of them to choose from. You have one that starts out really weak, but every turn he remains out, he gets stronger and stronger, which is kind of a really neat idea. And the other one, Wada.
Correct.
Once per turn can twice. Now, this the game board, let me back this up.
Yeah, you see, you kind of skipped the whole point of the board.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is one of my favorite parts of the game.
The game board is a 24 by 24 square grid. And the game comes with two 24-sided dice that are used to randomize placement of five more points of your base guys every turn. And for, with Wada, a solar strike. So it'll hit anybody in the X-axis, anybody in the Y-axis for one damage. But if you catch somebody in that crosshair, they immediately die.
Correct.
Now, at the time that we played this at the store, they had been... they've been developing this game now at this point for about a year and a half. I played the faction. I played Wada. I was the very first human on the planet, boom, to get someone in my crosshairs.
I'm pretty sure it was my guy, too.
It was, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I wasn't. Actually, I was super unhappy about it. I mean, it was awesome.
It was awesome because we all dorked out. You know, yeah. We dorked out. The developers dorked out because they've never seen it. And funny things, funny story is... about an hour or two later, when we were playing the next game, the creator that was playing with us did the same thing.
Yep.
And then we dorked out again because it was twice in one day and it's never happened before and we were all nerding out. Whatever. So once you get everyone placed on a board, you know, the heroes get their turn and then the faction gets their turn and then it moves to the next round and so on and so forth. The difference between this and basically any other game that I've played is... when you activate your hero, you don't have to do everything first. You can activate different heroes at different times. You can, if you have 9 movement, you can move 5, do one action, use the next guy, go back to the original guy, go to the third guy, go to the second guy.
It's kind of a huge thing.
Yeah, it's really kind of awesome.
Again, that coupled with the 24-sided die for placement, I think is a pretty... I mean, I don't know if it's 100,000% original, but it's not like most grid-based, almost explorer-type games. I mean, I wouldn't classify it as like a dungeon explorer, but it's got that feel when you first get started. But it's more of a... we also did the PvP match,
yeah,
which is a little bit different. But it's got that... I mean, yeah, it's just kind of a shoot 'em up fest. But it's also, there's lots of strategy to be had. Yeah, some of the faction characters are randomly placed out, but that actually makes or breaks strategies all in of itself. So,
well, the game we just played, that pretty much screwed me the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that. I'll get to more of that later. But here, one of my favorite parts about this game, and one of the things that I think sets it apart, is every round... for the first 6 rounds, you have what is called an enigma that is randomly placed on the board with the dice. And there's 2 different colors. There's purple and white, and it switches off every turn, alternates. And the purple ones, for the heroes, if they solve it, they extend the round. Now, if they do that, I cannot spawn more guys, and they can basically take a turn to breathe, clean up the map, whatever the case may be. Or if the boss is out, once the boss comes out after round 6, I can't spawn any more guys as the faction. And they have 6 turns to kill me, and if they don't do it, they lose. So extending the rounds, you really got to pick your time because right. You only can do it 3 times if you can make it to the enigma and if you still have actions to solve the puzzle. And the white one will allow you to bring another character onto the board only after somebody dies. So you start with 3, you can't just solve one and bring out a 4th. You got to wait until someone dies, so you got to strategize, okay, this guy's low on health, I should probably get him over there.
Right.
Like Mike was trying to kill himself, it didn't work too well.
Actually, the only time I could block anything was when I was trying to kill myself.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
But we'll get to, I'll get to more of that in a minute
as well. Sometimes the dice love you, sometimes they don't love you.
Yes. And as far as this game, The 24-sided dice are only used for deplacement and for that solar strike. They're not used in combat at all. The combat now has, you have orange dice, you have green dice, and you have purple dice. Stronger as those colors go up from, you know, orange, green, purple.
Correct.
And with your attacks and or your defense, these are the dice you roll. And
yeah, you use the same ones either way, which from what we've played so far, some people don't love it. I actually think it's perfectly natural, to be honest, because it's based on a point system, just like anything else. So instead of evades or what have you, or attacks, like a damage or a critical damage, you just have, let's just say, hits and misses.
Yeah.
So, or blocks or not.
It's pretty much.
It's just one or the other, which is fine. I actually think it's perfectly fine. I don't love the dice all the time. Because those orange ones have three blank sides, two sides have a one, and one side has a two. So if you're rolling a couple of orange against a couple of purple, I mean, it's almost don't bother because the purple only has one blank side. I think a four, a three, a two, and two ones, I believe, is about right. So it's kind of, you know, the dice obviously get much, much stronger as it goes on.
Correct. That they do. So, yeah, basically, for the first six rounds, it starts out where the faction spawns their guys, places their guys out. Then the heroes take their turn, the faction attacks. Then the round moves. You spawn more guys, heroes attack, faction attacks. It's pretty...
Yep.
It's pretty set in stone there, unless you're doing the PvP, whereas if you have multiple heroes, then they roll to see who goes first.
Yeah, so one of the things I really did like about this, well, I guess there's a couple of things, but the thing we didn't really hit on right away was the faction brings out 4 points worth of guys at its portal and then 5 points worth of guys randomly. You start with 1 point guys, 2 point guys, 3 point guys, and then there's a 4 point guy to bring out. So as he places those guys along the board, when the heroes take them out, they get those points in credits that they can spend at the store for upgrade equipment for their characters. And that leads into one of my more favorite things about this game, I guess if that's a phrase, is that the characters themselves all have base attributes and or base abilities, and they're very strategically different all the way across the board. Everybody has something not like anybody else. The only downfall about that is they all move just about the exact same, and they all have just about the exact same hit points, and they all have just about the same amount of actions. There's a couple here or there that have one more action, one less action, or one more move or one less move. Only one guy has more health and one female character has one less health. So as far as that's concerned, they're all pretty close to the same, which I think is, I don't know, not... I'd like to see that differ a little bit more, kind of limit some of the people as far as, you know, some of these bigger guys should only be able to move 4 or 5 spaces. I don't know. But...
Oh, you mean like the Overlord?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a hindrance so much as... Now you get back to that general store portion. There are upgrade cards for plus movement, plus action, plus health. There's crazy armor cards. There's crazy weapon cards, but they all cost a certain amount of points. And I didn't sit back and do the math, but if I had to do it real quick, 9 points a round times 6 rounds is 54 points worth of shit, right? Does that sound about right?
Sure.
So no matter what you do, that's the maximum amount you can spend. Now, there's some armor cards and or weapon cards in there that are 8, 9, 10, 11 points as much as. And if your character dies with that on his person, you lose it completely. So while the faction can't bring out guys in the second half of the game, if the heroes aren't ready by then, they're probably going to get whipped.
Yeah.
I mean... And that's happened, and that's, you know, we've also played this game a few times, and it sort of seems unbalanced, But whenever it seems unbalanced, it's because you weren't ready for the second half of that game and you get moshed as a hero. Or the other way around. The faction didn't do a good enough job of keeping the heroes from collecting all the great stuff, and then the faction gets moshed at the end. So it's
a lot of it comes down to how well you roll the dice.
Well,
actually, I take that back, and I'll get to that when you're done.
Yeah, there's a. I mean, I agree with that, but there's also there's a lot of movement things, and there's some subtle nuances to the game that the more we play, the more we've noticed. There's some things you can kind of do and things you can't do that make it a little better. Because I feel like when you and I have played now, I just won that game. I wouldn't even call it easily, but by the time we got to the sixth round, I was good.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time before I knock out MOBA, who is the Overlord, and he's got 15 hit points to knock out in six rounds, which is actually a little more difficult than it sounds. But I had luckily cleared most of your dudes.
Well, that's the one thing we didn't get to.
Yep.
When you have attack, let's say you roll attack, you roll your attack of 5, and I roll my defense of 6, you don't hit, obviously. 5 and 5 is a wash, nothing happens. If you roll a 5, I roll a 4, I take 1 damage. You roll a 5, I roll a 0, I still only take 1 damage.
Right.
So at the most, every time the rolls are happening, you can take is 1 damage. But if someone has... You know, like if you buy a couple of upgrade cards, someone has 5 actions and you hit every 5, on all 5, I just lost 5 hit points.
Right.
But on the reverse side of that, MOBA's got 4 actions. If I hit all 4 on one of your characters, that's bringing him down to 1.
He's got 4 actions and he's rolling 2 purple and a green. I mean, that's the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the good news is...
It was a close game.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, you could have...
I'll tell you why the game was bullshit.
I only had 2 heroes left, first of all, but by the time you knocked that hero out, and he had already taken one out previously, but we already established I was trying to kill her for a long, long time. Well, because I set the game up, I didn't want to start the game with. One of the characters, Thiago. He's a really good defensive character, and if you can get good weapons on him as well, he just becomes all out beast mode. So I had one of the other characters. I sort of used him to acquire what I needed for. I was either thinking about Thiago or Sass. Oh, actually, I lost 2 people
because
I brought Sass in later,
who's
actually my favorite character in the game, obviously. But I brought Thiago out, but I already had a superb weapon and a pretty good defensive armor to put on him, and he was just ready to go right out of the gate. I mean, he actually took a couple hits right away, which I wasn't really expecting, but... That was my bad dice roll, too. I have a static 4 defense with the guy rolling 2 greens. You think I can roll a 1, but Captain Blanky Pants over here.
Well, speaking of Captain Blanky Pants, let's get to some of the things that that I noticed, I guess, in this last time or two around. Like we said, we have 10 heroes. Mike always uses the same ones. So there's a lot of heroes in here he has not used. Before you get all defensive.
Taint true.
He always starts with the guy who can trade and buy as much as he wants for free. He always starts with the girl who can take control of the faction guys and use them against the faction. And he switches out Sass and somebody else for the third guy. And then he always brings Thiago in because he's the tank. He's the obvious choice. And basically the
way... In my defense, though, Effa, the one that controls the faction... That's a must start.
It's a ridiculous... I'm getting to that. Basically, she has 4 actions, and she uses her actions to take control of the faction. And then she doesn't get 1 action with them. She gets to do their entire thing. So if they get 3 actions and 10 moves, she can move them clear across the board and attack 3 times. That's one of her actions. So...
Well, it's her actions. It's their point value is her action value.
Right.
So if you're an UG is 3 points, that would be 3 of her actions
right
there. So no, I mean it's not.
No, it's like it's not as okay. I may have made it like sound a little worse than it really
the board
is.
Over.
But the bottom line is like, and I figured this out halfway through the game, so it's kind of like it's too fucking late now because now I can't bring anyone else out. But like the Wudwuds cost 1 to bring out. They're not exactly the greatest, but if you line them up in a row, you can stack their attacks, which is kind of huge.
Right, because they attack like rooks. On a chessboard, all the way across
Yeah, they have straight. Infinite range, and if you got three or four in a row, you're rolling four green, which is the medium dice, basically.
Right, which is not bad.
You're almost guaranteed a hit, almost. Yeah. Now, the Riltongues...
Early in the game, you are guaranteed a hit.
The Riltongues are huge because they do AoE within two squares of themselves. But the entire game, every time I put out a Riltongue or a Wudwud, he'd take control of the Riltongue, put it in the middle of all my Wudwuds, kill them all. No matter if it was random, no matter if it was whatever, he was always within range to kill at least three or four of my guys every turn before I even had a chance to use them.
Yeah, but I just think that that's fantastic gameplay by me. I mean, I'm just saying.
No, I honestly, like, one of the things I would personally, I haven't played it as much as these guys have, the developers. They might know better strategies than I do, but I would almost limit, because she can control somebody from across the board. There's no limit to her reach, mm-hmm. whereas everyone else has a range of some sorts. I feel like her mind control should maybe have a 10.
Maybe,
because that's still huge.
But if you see her coming out, if I was you, or if I was the faction and I was before...
Well, that's why I stopped putting Riltongues out.
I would take a couple of Uggs and put them out, because they have two hit points to take out, and I would... swarm them after her and try and kill her right away. I mean, that's right, but I know it's easier said. I'm making it sound like it ain't shit.
Right.
I know it's, I believe me. But yeah, that, I think.
But I mean, it got to the point where I stopped putting Riltongues out. I was putting out Uggs and Wudwuds, and I brought Sally out like four times. Because
the Riltongues are just too tough against yourself.
Yeah, they're if she's on the board, Riltongues are basically useless.
And I messed up a couple times. I mean, I there was a couple openings, and you did some decent damage, but I was able to.
I had the upper hand. I had the upper hand for half a turn. Other than that, almost every turn he killed almost all of my guys. It was probably like
two halves of a turn where I started a round with quite a few dudes out there. Where I left, I know I left Sally and an Ugg out there once for sure.
Right.
But you made a move. You made a weird move to me where you moved them kind of away-ish a little bit. But again, it's all strategy in context.
Well, I didn't go for the kill because I knew I couldn't kill anybody, and I don't want to leave them sitting right next to you. I want to make you at least work for it and move closer to me. No, that way you can't get away than when my turn came. But either way, it all didn't work out because I lost on the second to last turn. But
worked out for me.
Right. Now, and that's just the one thing I noticed when we were playing this one game. You know, the first time we played, I played me as the faction. And I played against six heroes, right? Or was it just you and Brian?
It was, no, it was just the three of us.
You're right.
Brian and I with three heroes.
But, you know, when I played the very first time, and of course it was the first time around, but I pretty much walked right through these guys.
Right.
I destroyed. The second time, when we played the PvP, I destroyed again.
Yeah.
The third time we played, I don't remember, I think I was on the hero side. I destroyed again. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I've done both at this point. I've destroyed the board, and I've been destroyed. So, I mean, in that aspect, feels pretty balanced. But
on that PvP, you and I were on the same team and won.
Yeah,
but... We ended up beating Brian and then beating the faction.
Well, the developer took the faction... And
that went all the way to the end, actually, didn't it? It was like the 11th round.
Well, when he says team up... Brian had three guys. Between the two of us, we had three guys.
Right.
And then the developer had the faction.
And you and I used one guy each and kind of had a community dude that we thought about. And
I basically just, you know, yeah, that sounds fine.
We sort of made like a plan, but,
yeah,
you know, we were into it, so we won.
True. Very true. Plus, you know, making the deals when they need to be made. You know what I mean? Like, hey, leave us alone. We'll go after him. You know, and then we turned on Brian. So
yeah, but then they all turned on us and thought they were getting cute with it. And then we beat the developers at their own game. Not a big deal.
Snap.
That happened.
Yeah, it did. It did. But let's see. What haven't we discussed?
There was something else I did want to get into, and now I can't think about it.
Well, I will get into it then.
Go.
We've kind of mentioned that every character has basically their own unique abilities. Now, there's a lot of games out there, if you've listened to a lot of our board game podcasts, let's face it, you have. That's one of our big complaints, is when you have a game where you're making separate characters, but they don't do anything.
Yeah, like, they just have a different picture.
Yeah.
They might as well all be called Bob.
Yeah. This game does... A fantastic job of making every character play completely different. Because yeah. that girl who takes control of people, that's her only attack, really. The mm-hmm. only other thing she
does... She doesn't have an attack.
And she only has 4 defense, right? 4 life?
Yeah, she has less life. But she's the one with the least amount of lives.
She can also bubble her teammates.
Correct, but that costs an action, which limits what she's doing.
Right. She's very, very much a support character.
Right.
Whereas Diago starts with a shit ton of armor, and he can carry up to 4 armor. For every armor he carries, he loses 1 speed, but he's the obvious tank. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he's not easy to kill. Okay. So then you have Sass, who is, if you are familiar with Overwatch, I guess you can consider her the Soldier 76 at a game, right?
Actually, that's a pretty good one. Yep, that was a good one.
She has an airstrike she can call in, but it takes all of her actions.
Yeah, it's all 3 actions, and it's 3 orange dice, which is baloney. They should put a green die in there, and they know it.
He actually always uses her, and he has not done that airstrike since day one.
I did it on day one.
Yeah, you did it on day one.
But I don't do it anymore.
Right, you haven't done it
since. It's not worth it.
Right, because...
But, I mean, she's still a fantastic character because she has 1 static defense to begin with and 1 static offensive hit to begin with, which yeah. may not sound like a lot when you're rolling orange dice.
Well, that's a guaranteed hit on the Wud-Wud.
Yeah, so, yeah. She doesn't even need a gun, which she starts with a weapon, which now, that's another thing, not all the characters start with base weapons. Sass does. Frass does.
See, I feel like they named them Sass and Frass because you're supposed to use them together.
I did it on that first night. We brought it. We started the second game. Frass was our middle guy. I used Sass. Frass was our middle guy, and I think you didn't use Leafy.
No.
Leafy's one of the other ones that starts with a weapon, which is actually... Leafy, in my opinion, is the 100% strongest character out of the box. Like...
Potentially.
Starting... Plain Jane.
If he had 1 more action, forget about it.
Well, yeah, he also only has 2 actions, but he has a weapon that rolls 2 purples, and his defense is 1 purple die. So he has no statics, but you're rolling purples.
See, the best thing about him is he has 2 things. You can spend both of your actions to go invisible, so you cannot be hit, or you can spend 1 action to... basically go through the...
And he does move 12, which is higher than
yeah.
a lot of people see. And I guess I probably should take
You can basically that back, phase right? off of the board onto... And
right, you can basically wrap side. Around the board. Yes. Like,
but that costs like an action.
Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
So, you know, let's say you
You're right there?
Yeah. So let's say you face the other side of the board and you're right in between. And it's AOE, I believe.
What's that?
It's not.
Negative.
No, see, that's
you
not
wanted
it
to be because you wanted to have like a cleave.
Well, move. It's a sword. You know what I mean?
He should totally be spinning.
So basically, let's say you go to the other side of the board, you do, and that costs an action. So you do an attack, that costs your other action. Now, let's say you've already moved 10, you can only move 2. Now you're wide out in the open. You can't invisible yourself. At least if you had another action, you could phase back.
True. But you could get another action by purchasing
right.
equipment.
Ooh, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about.
You don't like the store in post-apocalyptic Earth?
Yes.
All right.
And I know a lot of games do it. I know it's a common mechanic, but I almost feel like it would be not that you would need 40 because it's a giant deck that you're buying from. Like it's pretty beefy. I think there's 30.
Yeah, and it's actually super inconvenient most of the time because whenever. I mean, I cleared the board on that one, like 4 times just yeah. trying to get a sniper rifle so I could bring Sass out, and it was legitimately on, like, the last time I cleared the board. And I had already purchased, like, 4 or 5, 6 cards maybe already.
Yeah.
So I had gone through some cards, and of course, both of her sniper rifles were right next to each other.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot, and I shuffled like an idiot, apparently.
And I'm not saying, like... I mean, obviously, you can't just place random tokens around and flip it over for a random item. But maybe, give everybody 1 more action, and then for every turn, you can search the area with 1 action, and you get a random something.
Yeah, maybe, but I think earning the cards, I mean, I know there shouldn't be a store.
I'm just saying, there's no taco guy.
Yeah, part. I think you're just nitpicking the storyline a little bit too much at this point. I mean, just saying.
Like, can't just praise it, son.
No, I'm not saying praise it, but I'm saying, like, what else do you want to do? If it was just a search for a rando card and you didn't get a choice, yeah, that would be ridiculous.
Or hey, you use one action, you draw three, keep one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you're using a character like Sass or Ceres, who is an obvious gun carrier, and I pick up a sword that has one orange die on it, and then I got to throw it in the garbage, but that would have been great for a different character. So
there's gotta
this
be
gives you options it. Of
it does, but who are you strategy. Who are you buying it from?
From the electronic store, just like on
Amazon, one day shipping, yeah, the drone coming by and dropping your shit.
Exactly. Like No Man's Sky, you just buy it from the terminal.
Hey, I haven't played that in
there it is.
Very, very long time.
So it's just the terminal. How's that?
I guess. I should be able to blow that up. I feel like I should be able to upgrade my guys from the faction side.
Well, that gets to my second half of it, and I think, in my opinion, and now when I played you and Brian the other day and I was the faction, I utterly walked through you. But I do think that once MOBA gets out, the game does become one-sided. So after round six, it kind of gets, you're either the heroes are ready and they win, or they're not ready and they get decimated. So I think if they're not ready by round six, it's just over.
Well, let's face it. Diago had, what, 3 health left?
Yeah. But that's a lot when you have a static 4 defense and you're rolling.
It is a lot, but I feel like if I wouldn't have rolled so terribly, or you wouldn't have rolled so well against me, and I wouldn't have went down so fast as MOBA, I feel like I could have pulled it out.
You could have been close, but I mean, it really was.
What killed me is the fact that every single turn you were killing 5 of my 6 guys on the board. Like, I was never left with anything to really work with.
Yeah, I think the most you had at the end of one round was like 3 or 4. So, and two of them were what was.
By the time MOBA came out, which is the Overlord, at the end of round 6, I had him left. And I had
2 Wudwuds or something, or maybe just the it wasn't much, and it wasn't very difficult for me to.
No, because again, before I even got to use them, the Ugg was dead, and MOBA was probably, I think MOBA even took damage before I got to even attack.
Yeah, he did.
Because you attacked with 2 of your guys. So right. It's like, out of the gate. And that's the one thing with the PvP part, the heroes roll to see who goes first. I almost feel like maybe it should alternate, or maybe you should roll to see if maybe the faction can go first once. But, again, when I was playing the faction, I walked through these guys in the beginning when we first started playing. So, mm-hmm. I mean, when Mike played the faction the other day, he walked through us. I just had a shit luck today. That's really all it boils down to.
I mean, and maybe there's something to be said about the 1v1. Maybe that makes a difference. Maybe it would make a difference if it was 1 faction player and 3 players, so a 4-player game.
Well, what also screwed me was putting Real Tongues out a lot, because you just kept controlling them.
Legitimately,
and
you should change that right.
And that's why
away.
I want to try this setup again, because I want to do it with just Uggs and Wudwuds and see.
And hey. I think when I walked through you guys the other day, I think I had saved my, I think most of my random placements was an Ugg at 3 points and then a Real Tongue at 2 points. And I think I was putting like Uggs. I think I was putting the 3-point Ugg and a 1-point Wudwud at the portal, or the 4-point Sally. So
you're a 4-point Sally.
I sort of, and I'm not saying I'm like a strategic genius, but in the game we just
since
played,
when
I
you always
am.
Say that you
I am
are.
A strategic genius.
That's why this game takes 3 hours, because
oh stop,
you're like, oh, I got one move left. Let me think which one move I want to make.
Hey, I'm the one flying a W flag.
Yeah, for once.
Dude, just say, I'm the last one to win this game. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll fucking pee on it. Winner.
No, you won't. I painted those things. They look nice.
Actually, he did. That was his favorite part about the game, is they were like, oh, you want to paint them? Go nuts.
Yeah. So, I could have did a better job. I think they turned out all right. You guys will see some pictures on this Kickstarter. So the paint job was done by me.
Well, it's on our Instagram.
Not
it's
a biggie.
On, it's on.
Yeah, it's on the Instagram. It's on the Star Wars Tabletop Instagram now, too.
It'll be on the review and roast interview.
Interwebs.
Review that we're going to write for this as well.
Right. Yeah, I just, but in again, going back, the game we just played, I was very much preparing for that round 6.
Oh, yeah. And, it was obvious. And you saw well, me. You have to.
From you get, saw from me because I was holding money and I knew you were chasing her down, trying to get, you know, because if he, I at one point in time, I had Ceres out, who isn't super duper strong. She's got a little bit of defense, but I had a nice little defensive upgrade on her, so I got to roll some dice and got lucky a couple times. But at one point, I think she had like 13 or 14 bucks on her, which is actually quite a bit of money in this game. And if he would have killed her, I would have lost the game. Pretty much that's a fact.
Well, here was my strategy if he hadn't have killed everybody every turn. I'm not in the market to kill this guy and leave the other two alive. Because he clearly, his one guy only had one life left. I left that guy alone. And that's at the point when he started trying to kill her on his own. Didn't work. But I want to get everyone down to the point so that when my next turn comes and I'm bringing dudes out, I can kill everybody. Because that'll end the game. He can't bring shit out. And then, well, the nice thing about the Overlord, too, is he has a range of 4. And if it hits, you can take that guy you just hit and put him anywhere within your range.
Yep.
So that is a nice way to be able to group people together. But with only 5 movement, there was a lot of times if I had 8 movement.
The Overlord had 6 movement.
Yeah, it'd be a different ball game. Huge.
Yeah, I think that would...
Because a lot of times I wasted all of my movement just to get close enough to the two guys that were kind of grouped together. Mm-hmm. And if I could have threw one of the guys back and had like 2 more moves, now I'm hitting all 3 guys. Game changer.
See, but now again, if circling all the way back... I still think this game is pretty balanced, even though sometimes there's been some blowout victories and blowout losses.
Yeah, but it's been on both sides.
We can sit here and say you could have did 10 things. You could have not used Wada, the Underlord, and could have used Bask, who could have changed the entire game because he would have been tougher to kill.
Right.
Had I been going after him, you'd have got more guys out. When I walked through you guys the other day, that's who I used.
Yeah.
And I sort of snuck him out. You guys hit him a couple times. I ran him away.
I used him the other day, too, and I think I won that game.
I think you did. Against you and Brian. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Wada, but no. Once he gets in there, he's only got 3 health. Bask, even though he's not rolling any dice in the beginning, he's got 7.
Yeah.
You can't kill him in one turn, even in the beginning. And he's not rolling any defense dice the first round, but on the second round, he has 1 green. Third round, he has 2. Fourth round, he has 3. So he keeps getting more dice to roll. By the time I think I had him out when MOBA came out. I think it was over. I mean, it was over. You know what I'm saying? I got it this was, guy yeah. running down the street rolling 5 green dice. Yeah. You know what I mean? There was nothing. And if you attack him, he's rolling 5 green defense dice. He becomes a monster. I mean, legitimately, he becomes the monster he looks like. I mean, he looks like Killer Croc on steroids.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
Straight up.
Pretty much.
But I like, yeah. I mean, so again, I think there's just, I think having said that we've had some blowouts and we've had a couple close games, like when we played the PvP, that was actually, I mean, we won, but it was like round 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And we could have easily Well, even
this
not.
One came down to round 10.
Yeah, it was still round 10. I'd still lost a guy. And I forget, I don't think Sass really took a hit, maybe one.
Oh, yeah.
And Thiago was at like, he only had
three
hits to take, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, if I would have had a little more health, I was fitting to do some stuff.
Yeah, I think with MOBA's 4 actions, I think if he could use 2 to summon even 1 Ugg, that would make a big difference.
Oh yeah.
One random placement guy of his choice, 3 yeah. points or less or something. I don't know. I'm just talking shit yeah. now, but
well, I'm not supposed to start round 7 with no guys. That just also, happened to be what happened. True. You know what yeah. I mean? But I mean, yeah, overall, we've had wins on both sides. It's never, you know, you're never starting a game going, well, there's no yeah. way I'm winning. You know what I mean? So I agree. It's for the most part, it seems pretty balanced. It just sucks when you're on the losing side because.
Oh.
But again.
Every game seems unbalanced when you get your balls kicked in. You know what I mean? I play the game Lost Cities.
Play the game Defenders of the Realm.
Well, that one is actually unbalanced.
Extremely unbalanced, but in a fantastic yeah. way. Think Pandemic on steroids if you've never played it.
Yeah, it's pretty serious.
And Speed. But anywho, Wanted Earth by Shadow Squirrel Games hits Kickstarter May 11th. You're probably listening to this from their Kickstarter because I believe we're going to be helping them out because we enjoyed it so much.
We better be. And if you're not, you're...
picking it up off our page or off our Facebook page, or I'll probably end up having this actually in our Instagram.
We'll have it all over the place. Yeah. We're gonna drop zip drives from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so number. Let's number this thing up and get out of here.
You go first.
Honestly, as far as strategy battle miniature type games go, there's a few things that were a little, I don't want to say strange at first, but I was like, I think I would like tiles better, or I think blah, blah, blah. But the more, you know, once you start playing it and you figure, you know, you realize, you know, there really are force into combat, which really is necessary. You can't just let these guys not fight, because then they're not buying.
And
shit.
I want to give credit to the 24x24 board with 24 sided dice. I mean, it's genius.
It is, you know, fantastic. And the best part, one of the things that grabbed me initially was the Enigmas, which we did talk about earlier, mm-hmm. and that those come out and they spawn and they have a purpose. It's a
and
great
completely
idea.
Random, and I got screwed a little bit on that last game with them too.
Most of them were spawning
and then I got
behind
lucky.
Me.
Yeah. I got lucky ones.
Yeah.
And that was the one that actually helped me out.
Yeah, overall, prototype. I don't know if there's changes coming. I don't know what the plan overall is. But from what I've heard from them and what I've played so far, I can safely give this an 8 out of 10.
Hmm.
The miniatures are great. The components are great. The gameplay is frustrating if you suck. But, hey, that's not the game's fault.
Yeah, it's not frustrating for me at all. Oh,
hey, you fucking
that's
lost.
That's right. That's because I don't suck. So that's weird. Yeah, you know what? I'm honestly in like an 8.5, maybe even a little bit better range. But
well, I mean, if we get a free copy, it's a 10 all day.
But, I think I'm going to keep it at an 8.5. And normally, if you've ever listened to our board game podcast, that's actually pretty high for me, especially for a game. Well, actually. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm going to leave it at an 8.5. And then maybe we'll play it a little bit more and we'll update the site. But like I said, so far with the gameplay, and I'm interested to see what they're going to do with it. I'm interested to see. Now, having said that they were probably going to put a grid board on the backside of the static board, they were also talking about possible board markers or even 3D obstructions and whatnot, so you can actually customize that gridded board and keep it moving. So it would almost be, imagine having a grid board and then you can place tiles to change that board, if that makes any sense. It does to me, and it sounds like a really good idea. So I think that would up the value of this game, up the rating on this game immensely. But again, I think 8.5 is really, really good. And I'll play this game a lot.
I've noticed.
Especially if I keep winning.
Which you won't.
Yeah, I just, I'm going to go on record one more time, though. Sass's Airstrike needs one green die added to the mix. We can remove one of the orange ones. I'm not saying three orange and a green. I'm saying two orange, one green, all day.
All day.
That's it.
All right, well, there you have it. That's Wanted Earth by Shadow Squirrel Games. Check out their Kickstarter. You can probably easiest to just go to wantedearth.com, yeah. And they'll have links there.
Or go to their Instagram page, because they have a ton of nifty little art shots and action shots from like Comic-Con and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they have
that.
A ton. There's like
I was going through
20.
It today. They don't have a lot of followers yet, but they should, because it's a nice page. It's got good art.
Yeah, so there you have it. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. You can find all of our other stuff at ReviewandRoast.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ReviewandRoast. That was Wanted Earth by Shadow Squirrel Games. Check out the Kickstarter, and we will see you later.